Well, good morning. We're continuing our sermon series in the Gospel of John today. And if you want to turn over there, if you've got a Bible with you or a Bible app, I won't assume you're looking at your phone and texting your friends. I'll assume you're reading the Bible along with me. And if you're a visitor with us today, we're really glad that you've chosen to be here. This is a great family of God, and we're glad that you're among us today. We're going to be reading in John chapter 9, about a man born blind. And in the scripture reading this morning, we read in 1 John, the same author of both of those letters, about walking in the light. And really, that's kind of what this story is about. It's a long story, so stick with me. I won't read the whole story, but you have to read a big chunk of it so you can kind of understand what's going on. And if you want to read along the whole story while I'm talking, please feel free to do that, because as I said, it's kind of a long story. So we'll start in John chapter 9 in verse 1. As he went along, Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." And this word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, it only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to the pool and wash. And so when I went and washed, then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. We've all had the experience of a light that is shining so brightly in our eyes, instead of the light actually helping us see better, it hinders us from seeing better. Have you ever been in a movie theater and your eyes have kind of darkened, and then you come out because it's the middle of summer? The only reason you went to the movies is because it was so hot, you didn't even care about the movie. You just wanted to sit in the air conditioning, and you come out and you forgot it was 3 p.m, and it's like so bright. You're like, "Oh, turn that thing down." And you're actually blinded by the light, and that's what we're going to see here in this story. There's a group of people who come to understand and accept Jesus because he's the light of the world. And then there's a group of people that can't see and understand and accept who Jesus is. And they're blinded, in fact, by his light. And so this man born blind is here, and the disciples see him, and they go up to Jesus and they say, "Hey, Jesus, like, why did this happen? What is the culprit? Where can we point our fingers and say, this is the reason why this man was born blind?" And we can understand that. Like most Jews of this day, they saw a direct correlation between sin and suffering. And it's not entirely a crazy question, because Scripture does teach us that we live in a fallen world filled with evil and sin and suffering, and we're not perfect. Our bodies are not perfect, and we know that our destination is the grave. And that's the result of sin. We say we live in a fallen world. That's Adam and Eve's fault, because they didn't do what God said, and they sinned and they disobeyed and they rebelled. And that's the curse that we inherited from them, a fallen state. And Scripture does teach that that is the result of sin and disobedience. However, Scripture does not teach that there is a direct correlation between each person's individual sin and problems and disobedience and their health or their circumstances in life. We know that to be true, right? We've all sinned. We didn't wake up the next morning with a rash. We didn't suddenly just fall and break our leg. Our bank account doesn't suddenly plummet. Okay? In fact, sometimes the Bible says sinners seem to be prospering. right? Okay, so Scripture doesn't teach that there's an individual correlation here. However, there is a rabbinic text, and this is some of the things that led to this understanding in this culture, that said if a pregnant woman goes and worships in a foreign temple and participates in a pagan ritual, then not only is that woman at fault, but even her unborn child. And this is the thinking of the day. And so the disciples come up to Jesus and they want to know, hey, is this guy a sinner or was it his parents? And Jesus says, neither one. Well, now we know that, of course, he was a sinner and, of course, his parents were sinners. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, no, they're perfect. Jesus says, no, it's not sin's fault right here. But actually, the reason why this man was born blind is so that the work of God could be displayed in his life. Now that is an amazing statement, and that's what we're going to see in this story. So Jesus, you can kind of see it going down like this. At least this is the way I see it. No, there's no sin here, guys. We are about ready to see something amazing. We're going to see the glory of God. And he spits on the ground. Now, that was kind of gross what I did just there, right? Not going to lie. Just like you and I, the people back then, a good Jew of this day, would have considered any bodily excretion not a good thing. Right? Now, I'm not going to get all gross on you here today, and I'm not going to name them all, but you can let your imagination run wild a little bit. The stuff that comes out of our bodies, we don't want it around. We want to flush that stuff away, right? It's a biohazard. It's unclean. And anything that comes out of our bodies to the Jews would have been considered ceremonially unclean. It's not good. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 8, and Numbers chapter 12, verse 14, both contain references to spit causing uncleanliness. And so I look at this passage and I think, here is Jesus, just like so many other times in his life, talking to women out in the open publicly, going eating and drinking, maybe too much according to the critics, hanging out with tax collectors and sinners and going into people's houses that were of ill repute. Here is another example of Jesus stamping on the religious establishment and saying, you want to see the glory of God? And he gets a big old loogie, a big old hocker, right in the mud. Touches it. And then he puts it on someone else. Ah, that's gross, man. That came out of your mouth. That is not clean. But I think Jesus is merely breaking another social, cultural, religious taboo to show the glory of God. And certainly, you're going to see later, the Pharisees are going to ask a lot of questions. Exactly how was this man healed? I want to know the details. And the details are here in John. That's quite a detail. Well, he spit on the ground. Now, Jesus tells the man to wash in the waters of this pool. And it's the same pool from which they would gather the water and pour it out in the Festival of the Tabernacles. And the Festival of the Tabernacles, or booth, is the setting for which this story is taking place. You read that earlier in John chapter 8. John says, well, it was a Feast of the Tabernacles. Okay? So that's the setting here. This feast is going on. It's a long feast. It lasted a week. And this is the same pool that the water would be collected to be used during these feast time. And Jesus said, go and wash in that pool. And John says, here's an important little detail about that name of that pool, is it means scent. Now for John, this is really important little detail. And John wants his readers to understand a little bit more about who Jesus is and his mission. Now when Jesus was answering this question about who sinned, this man or his parents, he said, neither, but God has sent me to do his work. I have been sent by God so that we could do God's will. I can show you how God wants you to live, and I can live a perfect life. I've been sent by God. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus sends. In chapter 16, verse 7, he said, "Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "When I leave, you're not going to be alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." Also in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." John says, Jesus is the one who was sent by God. That was his mission, to display the work of God and to glorify God. And as his followers, we are sent by Jesus to go and live and do God's work in the world. So that's an important point for John. The name of this pool is sent. And so Jesus is sent by God. He sends the Spirit. He sends the disciples. And now he sends the blind man to go and to wash. And now, like I said, I can't read this whole story, but I'm going to do a little narration right here, okay? So the man goes back home with his sight restored. And when he gets home, this is when all the gossip back in the old neighborhood begins. "Hey, is that the guy? I think that's the guy." "No, that's not the guy. It only looks like the guy." The guy says, "I'm the guy." And there's a lot of discussion about, is this the guy? I'm not sure. I'm not understanding if this was the guy or not. This is completely unfathomable in this day that somebody had their sight restored. So he says, "Well, I am the guy." And they say, "Well, then how can you see?" And the guy narrates again exactly what happened. And they say, "Well, you say a guy Jesus spit on the ground and put some mud in your eye. Where is he? Where's this guy Jesus that you're talking about?" And he says, "I don't know. I don't know." Tuck that away just for a second. "I don't know." And we're going to see in this discourse and in the conversation to come a similar pattern of what John does throughout his gospel that we've already seen this summer as we've been preaching through John, and you're going to see later on. And it's just that when Jesus and people get together, there's a discourse that happens that sort of starts with a misunderstanding about who Jesus is, or a scratching of the head, or a shrugging of the shoulders. And throughout the conversation, there is a gradual understanding of who Jesus is. John chapter 3, Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus comes up and says, "Hey, Jesus, you're a pretty good dude. I can tell you're from God because you're doing some great things. You must be born again." "Well, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about entering into a mother's womb again to be born? I'm not sure about that. You're Israel's teacher and you don't understand this stuff?" And throughout this conversation, there's a revelation of who Jesus is. He is the one to whom God has given that we might have eternal life. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. "Hey, can I get a drink?" "Whoa, you're a Jewish man. You're talking to me out in public? What's going on here?" "Well, if you knew the gift of God, you'd ask me for a drink." "Well, I know you Jews worship on this mountain over here. Go get your husband." "Well, blah, 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 blah." And throughout this conversation, this woman begins to understand. And she eventually goes back to her village. And what does she do? She tells everybody, "I found the man, the Messiah." And through the discourse, through the conversations, people begin to understand who Jesus is. There's another great example we won't read. It's in John chapter 5, verse 8, if you want to take notes and read it later. John chapter 5, verse 8 is the story of the man who had the mat. He was paralyzed, and Jesus said, on the Sabbath, "Pick up your mat and walk." And there's a discussion about, how did this happen? The Pharisees come along. How did this happen? Just like our story of the man born blind. So our story continues. Let's read in verse 13. So all this happened back at home. Is this the guy? No, it only looks like him. I'm not sure. And now, in verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. So now it's time for the big dogs to get involved, the big guns, okay? This whole healing thing, it needs to be inspected a little bit closer and verified and vetted by the Religious Standards Committee. There's an orthodoxy that needs to be followed very, very closely. And only the approved regulators of the day could look and decide whether this was actually a work of God or not. And they had to ensure the legitimacy of what happened. So a discussion again ensues, this time about whether the man who did this is from God or if he's a sinner. Those are your choices. And this is the test that we need to try to figure out. And the formerly blind man describes him as a prophet. So he goes with the camp of this man was certainly with God. Well, the religious referees are not convinced, and this whole thing is too unbelievable for them. And they need to investigate even further. Talking with the man himself wasn't good enough, so they said, well, let's bring in his parents. Now, John says the parents are scared of these religious leaders. They're afraid of these guys. You know, you can just imagine, I don't really think this is how they looked, but I always picture them with like big funny hats. For some reason, a big funny hat gives you an air of authority, right? And a big robe and maybe lots of fancy stuff on, I don't know, ribbons or whatever they've done. That's kind of how I imagine. I know I'm maybe a little immature at that point. They probably did not have a hat on. Maybe they did. But they're scared of these guys because of their authority. And so they're unwilling to stick out their neck when they're asked. And here's what the parents of the blind man say. Yep, that's our son. Yep, he was born blind. Yep, apparently now he can see. But beyond that, I don't know who, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when. I'll catch you later. They're not willing to jump in to this discussion of from God or sinner because they're afraid. Hey, he's of age. You go talk to him yourself. I'm not going to get involved in this discussion. So they go back to the man. This time, tell us the truth. We know this guy is a sinner. The man says, sinner or not, here's one thing I know. We just sung it. I once was blind, but now I see. Man, that's a testimony right there. I don't know. Quit asking me. But here's one thing I do know. I was not able to see, and now I can. The Pharisees, again, what did he do? They want to know what happened. How did he open your eyes? And the man says, man, I am just tired of this. I told you already. I told you what he did, and you didn't even listen the first time. Oh, I get it. You want to follow him too. You're really interested in how he did it because you think this is kind of cool, huh? I bet you want to be his follower, and that is a bridge too far for these Pharisees. What are you talking about? I've never heard of anything so outrageous in my life. We are followers of Moses. Here it is again. We don't even know where this man came from. We don't know. Can you recall a few weeks back when we started this sermon series? I got to kick us off in John chapter 1, and we read together this from verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And we talked about a couple of translation choices in the NIV that we thought might be better than recognize. His own did not recognize him. We said, no, it's probably better that we say, and some other translations say this, they did not know him. I think about recognition as somebody I know, and then all of a sudden, you know, they got a new haircut, or they got new glasses, Oh, hey, Bob, I didn't recognize you. You know, you put on a few pounds. You thought I was going to say you lost a few pounds. Right? So you already know someone, and then there's something different about them that you don't recognize. But really, I think what John is saying here, his own do not know him. And in this conversation with the man, that's pointed out two different times. We don't even know him. The very people who should know who Jesus is, they don't. But John says in John chapter 1, to anyone who would believe in him, even an outcast beggar born blind, even you today sitting here in the Sierra Madre Church of Christ, anyone would believe in him. That person is empowered by God to become God's child. And that's the promise of the gospel. So back to our story. In verse 30, the man answered, now this is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly people who do his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Well, that's quite a sermon, and that's quite a theological statement from a random guy born blind. He doesn't even have a name in this story. Did you notice that? He doesn't even have a name. Just a guy born blind. If he had a name, it'd probably be called outcast, sinner, beggar. And he preaches a short and powerful sermon to the religious inspectors of the day. You don't know him, but he did an amazing thing, and we know God would not be working through a sinner. God is working with folks who do his will. And if this man didn't come from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. Now, this is great language from the Gospel of John also that might sound very familiar to you. John chapter 15, later, Jesus is going to say, I'm the vine, people. You're a branch. I'm connected to the soil and the water and the sun. I'm alive. I've got the power. You're just a branch. If you get cut off, you're nothing. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And these are the words that are echoed here by this man. If God were not with this man, he could do nothing. So all of these conversations, the conversations back at home, the conversations with the parents, the conversations with the Pharisees, reveal John's great irony once again. People refuse to see the healing for what it is, a testament to God's glory. The authorities have a script that they feel must be followed. There's an orthodoxy that must be kept pure. And this story does not follow that script. There's spit, there's mud, there's a guy that they don't know, there's an outcast, a beggar, somebody who is not a member of the functioning society. None of this rings true to them. Therefore, this man is just reduced to a beggar and Jesus a sinner. The man is discredited, scorned, and ultimately thrown back out. He started out to begin with. This is not an ADA compliant society. You don't walk on an elevator and feel the numbers. There's no walk sign where you can't see the white man or the orange man and actually go down to Santa Monica, right? And it goes, walk, walk, right? The society is not built around this man's disability, and all he could do was sit on the sideline. And ultimately, at the end, he's cast out again. And Jesus himself is derided and doubted because they refuse to see, because they are blinded by the light. They are the real sinners themselves. Well, the story closes in John chapter 9, verse 35, and let's finish up here with the story. In verse 35, Jesus circles back to the man. He heard that they had thrown him out, And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." See here what's happening? Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." So, church, I just want to ask you to think today and this week, do you recognize the work of God? You may not know it when you see it because it may not fit your preconceived notion of the way God works in the world. God is a surprising God, and he often goes against the grain of what we expect or even believe. That certainly happened to the Pharisees, and they had book, chapter, and verse to prove it. Spit ain't right. It's not actually the way it says it, but if you read the Hebrew like I do, that's the way it says it. Jesus said the purpose of this man's blindness was to bring glory to God. How exactly? By people around this scenario recognizing God's work. That's it. That's how Jesus said we're going to bring glory to God today, is if everybody that sees what's happening here, regardless of whether it fits in your expectations or not, that God is alive and he is working and he cares about the outcast and the beggars and the sinners and those with physical deformities. Knowing him and accepting him, receiving him, and being empowered to become his child, that brings glory to God. And Jesus said, "I'm the one who was sent to do God's work, and I am the one who sends." So today, church, God is sending you out of this place, out of these doors, to continue to do God's work. Let's sing together.